He didn't have the anointing on the inside, but he had it on the outside. Just getting on the outside is enough to change some stuff. Amen? Man, can you just imagine? I mean, that's that represented the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, represented His Word, His presence. That's worth shouting for and dancing for.
Yeah, praise God.
Praise God. I mean, I look and think about all the things we watch on TV with the sports and the Super Bowl and the World Series, people acting crazy, hilarious. Man, that's how God, we're supposed to act in the presence of God. We're not supposed to be sitting here all solemnly. Jesus wasn't that kind of a guy. He was God in the flesh, destroying the works of the devil.
Amen.
Now that's enough to get you happy right there. Seeing people's arms grow out, crippled people, limbs return. Miracles. Seeing blind eyes open right in front of you. Man, he was full of joy. No, he was anointed with gladness. Because he was glad to see that thing, see those things change in people's lives. Man, he's happy when he sees us give into the kingdom of God, because he knows what we're doing is going to change our lives. It's going to change our future and our children's children's future. Amen. He's alive. From death unto life. Translated from darkness into light. The glorious light of the gospel. That's the gospel that Peter started out preaching, that Paul preached, and that's what I'm going to start on this morning. Amen. Y'all going to go out here preaching. I'm not going to tell you the title yet, but it'll be something to shout about when we get there. If you'll turn with me, we'll go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms. Might as well just keep praising God. David wrote most of these Psalms, and he didn't write them when he was feeling good. He wrote them, a lot of them, about his bad times. When he was in the cave, and it was complete darkness, and Saul was right in the cave, the king was out to kill him. But David knew better. He knew his strength didn't come from Saul, it came from God. And he knew not to touch the anointed one of God. He cut his robe while he was in the cave, just cut his robe and took him to his knees. As Saul left, David couldn't even, the anointing was so, the presence of God was so on David, he said, I've disobeyed God by touching this man. And he apologized and repented to Saul that I could have took your life, King Saul. But now I'm repenting because God has anointed you. What God has blessed, we can't curse. Right? That means the devil can't curse it. The devil can't mess with God's blessing. Now, he can get you to mess it up and get me to mess it up. But he can't touch it because it's God's. And it belongs to him. And he gave it to us to wear. Not to brag, but to go out and do the works. To be empowered. To be empowered with His glory. And I'm just as guilty as anybody of just compromising and just shying away from just doing a simple act and just releasing the power that's on the inside of me to somebody else. Because the devil just wants, what's going to happen if this? What's going to happen? Those ifs and buts. But if it don't work, that's his mind game right there. It's where he plays with our mind, is the doubt. And that's what messes up the work of God. So we're going to shout that doubt out this morning. Amen?
Amen?
I just tell you, it's been a week of just, I don't know, it's just the devil. Just bringing accusations and thoughts of doubt to me. So it's time to shake them off.
Amen.
No better time than to shake them off than the present. Amen?
Amen?
Just be honest with one another. Hey, if you need help, get you somebody and pray. Confess your faults one to another, not everybody, one to another, somebody you can trust, and get it in the past. Psalms 37. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. This morning, Lord, as I release my faith, I thank you, Lord, that I'm stepping out of the way, and I'm letting you have your way in me today, Lord. Speak to me. Use me. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing right now, Lord, to minister grace, minister power, and hope to your people today, Father. I've received that anointing, and thank you, Father God, to be able to operate in that anointing in Jesus' name. Psalms 37, verses 21. We're familiar with these. Verses here, 21 through 29. The wicked borrows and does not repay. Kelsey kind of started out with the difference between the wicked and the righteous. The wicked man borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man, or you can say the steps of a strong man, are ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. When Peter stepped out on the water, he was walking on the water. He began to fall. He began to sink. But he didn't go all the way down. Jesus' hand, his right hand, was there to snatch him back out. Thank God he stepped out of the boat. He stepped out on faith. Amen. David says, I have been young, and I've been young. We can probably all raise our hand here. And now I am old. Now, I'm not going to put an age on old, but I'm older than I used to be. So I can say a little bit what David said. I've been young, and I actually say I can been young, and I was one of those wicked ones. I didn't have the blessing of God. David did. He had a dad that taught him the Word of God. David said, I've been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. That's God's integrity right there. That's the integrity of his word. Nor his descendants that are righteous begging for bread. God is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. If you don't look blessed, say, I am blessed. I ain't going by what I look. I'm going by what God says I am. He says I are blessed. They are blessed. That means I am blessed. If I'm in his covenant, if I'm with him, I'm blessed. Depart from evil and do good. There's a key. If you're doing things not right, just quit it. Get out of it. And then do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved. How long? Forever. But the descendants of the wicked, said it again, shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Said it again. See, the Lord, the earth, the heavens and the earth are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. It's all God's. He gave us the earth to be God on the earth, to be his children here on the earth, to operate with his same spirit. And we're going to get redeemed. It's getting redeemed. And we're going to get all this stuff back. And we're going to walk in this earth for 1,000 years with Jesus the way we were supposed to. But until then, we can walk above the circumstances. I want to emphasize verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm a little bit older, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging for bread. My encouragement to you today is that you're not a beggar. We're a believer. We're not beggars. We're believers. We believe in this word. We believe in the promises of God. We believe in the presence and power of his spirit in us and in the church. And it's working in the earth. Amen. Our inheritance is in the kingdom of God. See, I didn't come from a wealthy family. My dad was an alcoholic, abused the majority of my family, drank all the living. My mom worked as hard as she could just to keep bread on the table for us. But see, I'm in a different kingdom now. That was the kingdom of darkness that I was subject to until. But even then, I looked up in the skies and knew there was a God and cried out to him as a kid the only way I knew how. And he heard me. And he answered me the only way he could, the best way he could, by putting godly friends around me in school that would invite me to their home, and I would see how a family would sit down and pray and invoke God into their lives, into their meal. I seen that. Don't let anybody tell you that God's not in this world. No, they're lying. They're deceived. God has met anybody many, many times. If they hadn't been born again, he's come across their path. But they're looking for this great, spectacular God that he's in the hearts of his people. You and me, stretching our hand out, hugging somebody, speaking a kind word. That's God in the earth. That's what Jesus was doing. It said, they sat in darkness. These people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus came, ministering grace and love. Not Condon. Don't not bring your tithes to church. If you don't, God's going to take it out in doctor bills. That ain't God. That's what they were preaching. That was the law, and it brings death. Jesus brought grace and truth and peace. Our inheritance is in the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? I'm glad you asked. Romans 14:17. What is the kingdom of God? This is just a nugget of it. You need to know because you just gave into it. Amen. You just sowed into the kingdom of God. Then you are entitled to Romans 14:17. And it says, let's read it together. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom of God. That's why you can get up and shout and shake a little bit as you give your offering. Because this is who we are. We are in this kingdom. Jesus was not sad and lowly. Now, he came on a lowly donkey. He came in. He was all meek. But, man, he said if these people hadn't praised, the rocks would have had to cry it out. Because God Almighty was coming to save mankind. He was entering into the joy of the Lord was coming. Praise God. Our kingdom, we have inherited righteousness. We have inherited peace and the ability to have joy in the midst of trouble, in the Holy Ghost, in the midst of our trouble. And the devil can't stand it when we do that. He has to flee. He can't stand it. He has to flee. That's why he has to flee, because he can't stand it. They're praising God again. See, that used to be what he did. He was over that praise and worship team. But he got the boot because of pride. Pride got him lifted up. And God, the Word of God says, if you be lifted up, there's coming a great fall. Yeah. Jesus said, I perceive Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He fell from his jurisdiction, from his authority that God had given him. But that's not us. See, he deceived mankind and got us down to his level for a while. For just a small, to God, it was just like 2 days. 2,000 years was like 2 days to him. For about 2 days, he came against mankind in God's time. Until Jesus was born on this earth. Amen. What will this joy in the Holy Ghost cause you to do? We saw a little bit this morning. It caused you to get up and want to shake. Y'all still didn't cut loose like you should. I'm not going to because I just can't. I better not say that. I better not say I'm not never going to. Because Lord, anoint my feet. The Holy Ghost anoint my feet. I'll just have to do what he tells me to do. I think Reed could have stepped up here and Reed could have showed, he could have led us all into the holy place. Praise God. Let's go to Reed Acts. What will this joy in the Holy Ghost cause you to do? Let's go to the book of Acts. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. You could about say the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Not moving on itself anymore, but moving in the church. See, that's what that paraclete, he's called the paraclete, the Holy Ghost. He's one that comes along aside. Para means a parachute. You jump out of a plane, you got a parachute. It's there to help you if you jump out of a plane. Well, the Holy Ghost is here to help you be a witness. And do you with his power, God's mighty power. I better get there. Acts chapter 3. What will joy in the Holy Ghost cause you to do? And why is it so important? We need to be filled with this Holy Ghost, filled with his power, so we can do this. We can't do it in our own ability. We'll cower away. Peter was a great example of it. But that same Peter that ran from God, Now, let's read about him. Now, say now.
Now.
Now Peter, after he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and John went up together. They went out two by two. Jesus set them out two by two. He hasn't changed. If you want to do something, don't go by yourself. I mean, you got Jesus on the inside of you. I'm talking about, but if God's called you to do something, you need to be two by two. Two of you agreeing. Two in agreement. Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb, from birth, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. If you see something that doesn't look beautiful, in God's eyes, it's beautiful. He can make it beautiful. It's beautiful to Him. He can change it. So if you see that, just see it beautiful. See it the way Jesus sees that person, totally healed, totally set free. Beautiful. He was set there to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have." He left his wallet at home. Mama told him he couldn't spend anymore. He's already maxed out his limit this week. "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have," you're never without God. If you got God, you're never without anything. "But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Did he say, "Well, if it is God's will, Peter, will I be healed? But, well, you know what my mama said? You know what Grandma Susie said? She said you got to tarry before you can get healed, Peter." Is that what he said? No. Peter didn't give him time to ask questions. Peter took him by the hand. He took him by the hand and lifted him up. And when he took him by the hand, it's called a transfer of the anointing. Went into this crippled boy. The power was released. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, not next week, but immediately, his ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up. That'd be a good song to crank up the shaking right there. He leaped up, stood up, and walked into the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praying. I can see Peter probably hanging on this boy. He was taking him around that temple. Jumping up, praising God. Never walked before in his life. Never knew what walking was, but he knew how to walk then. He knew how to jump then. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. He wasn't praising Peter and John. He was praising God. And then they knew it. And they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. They were filled with wonder and amazement. What happened on the day of Pentecost when all these 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost? They was up there praising and shouting and giving thanks to God, praying in other tongues, but all the men heard, but these are Galileans and they're all speaking our native language. They must be drunk. They must be drunk. Then Peter stood up. See, this was his first miracle that happened through his hands. He preached the gospel. This ain't what you think. This is what Joel prophesied. This is that. Amen. Today. Amen. That God prophesied. That day is in the past. That day has happened. It's not happening like that again. When it happened, that was one time God poured it out and he ain't took it back. He poured it out. The day of Pentecost had fully come. And now we believers lay hands on the sick. The church was born that day on the day of Pentecost. The power was released. All the gifts and callings are without repentance. God's not taking things back. It's time to stir them up. Amen. We got to stir ourselves up by the Word of God. Because if we don't, we'll just settle down to the bottom and just be that, just sitting there. This beggar became a believer. He used to beg for alms. Now he was believing in the God he never could see. He was believing the God. He had all those questions. Why did God make me this way? Now he's saying, God, I know you didn't make me this way. Now, what can I do for you? He didn't have to beg for alms anymore. He was out working. And the purpose that God put on the inside of him, he probably had knew that purpose on the inside of him. He just couldn't achieve it because he couldn't walk. He had to be carried everywhere. Now, he was carrying God on the inside of him. We don't hear much about him anymore, but I guarantee you he was out giving a testimony. Laying hands. I bet he's seen other cripples raised up. Because God said, Jesus said, freely you have received. Guys, freely give it away. But then the devil tries to come in with doubts. What's going to happen if she falls out of the chair? We just got to believe God and be stirred up by the Holy Ghost. What will this joy do? This joy, this righteousness, this peace, it'll cause the lame to leap and jump up and praise God. This same Holy Ghost, it'll cause the blind eyes to see. It'll cause the deaf ears to hear. My friend, it turns beggars into believers. You see, you go back to verse 3, verses 2. They had this boy set at the gate, beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. See, he was asking all the wrong things. He needed to be asking, how can I get healed? But he was asking for money. See, the temple was there for a house of prayer. But through the law, it had been taught that this is where you come to beg God for something. We don't have to. But David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. See, they didn't, undoubtedly, they didn't preach that at his church. He needed to hear that David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And he could go to God and say, God, David said you'd never seen the righteous forsaken. He could have got his healing quicker. Because, see, we've got to ask the right questions. We need to be hearing the right answers. Amen? Yes. And they're in this book. They're in the book. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes. Hallelujah. I remember this. And whether they're angels, you know, angels, they can be unawares. We could be talking to somebody and they could be a human, but it could actually be an angel. The Bible says if you may be entertained, angels unaware. But I remember when we first got born again, we were excited. Still are, but we were excited. We were young Christians. Believing God, we were so in debt. We were just in debt. But God, we got one of those, what do you call them, those timeshares, you know, where you can go down and you can go listen to the beach. You can go down to the beach and listen to a, what do you call it, a demonstration,
presentation.
I never could say no. That's why I was so in debt. I think I had to say yes to everybody. But now we had God on the inside, and I'm telling Sherry, I'm like, man, I think we can take up on this deal, and we can say no. I have boldness to say no now. But we can take this and go down to the beach. So we did. Went down there, and they had us a nice steak dinner, and then we went to the presentation. It was like a three-day, two-night. But on the way out of that steak, we had a good steak. I forget where it was at. It was down there off of North Myrtle Beach. What's that big shopping center down there? My wife likes to go shopping and walk around. Kelsey, Barefoot Landing. There was a nice steak place there. I don't remember the name, but I remember the food. But the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, though, is it? But there is a lamb. We're going to have a great marriage supper of the lamb. It is going to be about eating and drinking, too. But anyway, we had a nice steak meal and got my belly full, and I was just happy. And, you know, it was all free, so I grabbed me one of those good little muffins to take with me. Afterwards, I knew I'd get me a cup of coffee, and I had me a muffin. And I don't think we could afford to rent a car, so we drove whatever we drove down there. I think Kelsey and Dallas, it was just two of us, four of us then. But as we was riding around, behind the motel, there was this lady standing there young lady, probably mid-20s, and you can just see despair on people's faces. And I think she had somebody with her, maybe a young gentleman. But just the Spirit of God, I stopped, and I rolled down that window, and she came to the car expecting to receive something, just like this story right here. And I rolled down the window, and she came there, and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus." And I gave her that cupcake, and I just witnessed to her. I said, "Lord, or ma'am, I know it looks like you might not have much, but here, this is what we have to give, but you need Jesus." I said, "If you can receive Jesus, you can do anything." And to this day, I believe that was an angel. Now, I told Sherry, I said, "I'll know all in all when I get to heaven," but I felt like it was just an angel there because I was just impressed to take what I had been given. And I had a little bit, but I seen just despair. I said, "Oh, I don't have no money. Lord, we don't have no money." But I gave her that little bit, but also gave her a witness of Jesus. Just a simple witness. And either it was an angel or it was somebody that just got a good witness, or somebody that said, "Man, this boy's crazy." But he believes in Jesus. I tell you what. The Word, the Holy Ghost, will cause you to do things that you used to cower away from. That's what Peter did. He couldn't but help do something. He knew he didn't have enough silver. Money and gold couldn't buy that boy's ankle bones, his twisted ankles. Money couldn't buy it. But what Peter had could. He had Jesus. He had that power. He seen the miracle-working powers, and it was on the inside of him. And I could tell he was just seeing Jesus. He was seeing the works of Jesus in his spirit. And he said, "Jesus said, do it. I'm doing it. Come on, John, hook up your faith with me. Let's believe." Because John didn't say nothing. But I think he went, "Okay, Peter." Peter was bold. John was more kind of laid back. He wasn't, and I'm not saying John wasn't in faith, but he was kind of evaluating the situation. But Peter's like stepping out on the water. "Here it is, John." Jesus passed by that beggar 3.5 years in the ministry. But he was only chosen for a certain people at a certain time. But he had never forgot about him because he sent Peter. See, God is never forgetting. He's never forgot about us. But there's certain people God's put in our path to be that miracle. Amen? So be expecting every day. Things that are not working out in your life, just keep expecting. And you can find it in the Word. I mean, you know, it's not like you're waiting. We're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to seek him with our whole heart. I'll put both of my hands up. "Lord, forgive me for not seeking you with my whole heart." Because that's when we hit the miraculous. Man, that's when the suddenlies happen. It's when we're in that divine flow. "Lord, I don't care. Whatever's going on today, Lord, where do you need me and what you need me to do? Or what you need me to say?" Just be that willing vessel. Believers that will have something to shout and praise to God about, like this man, that's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. Make you shout when you don't feel like shouting. What else will the Spirit of God inspire us to do? I got to set my clock back. It's 12:10. Uh-oh. Nobody set that clock back while I was gone. Larry let me down. He's wanting to see if I noticed that. Trying to get out early, wasn't you, Larry? What else will the Spirit of God inspire us to do? Let's read on Acts 11. Through 26, after this great sermon and after this great miracle. You see, Peter, they didn't pray. They didn't get together and pray. They spoke right then. It wasn't a time to pray. It was a time to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Peter said, "Look at me. Look at me. Silver and gold have I not." He didn't say, "Oh, Father, I pray right now." No, he said, "Silver and gold I have not, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." People went crazy. Church got crazy. And then Peter said, "Okay, settle down. Then you have all these religious people, all these questions. "Well, such and such and such and such." Peter answers it. Now this lame man in verse 11 who was healed held on to Peter and John. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" See, people were starting to puff up and look at him. They was getting these looks across the crowd. There was a spirit of discernment. Peter was discerning, like Jesus, the intents of the people's hearts right now. Peter went on, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you," he's pointing out, "whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate." Well, what happened to Peter? Peter denied him. There's been a change taking place. Peter, that old man's dead. See, I don't care what I've done. I'm thinking about what God's done for me, and I got to preach this. If it ain't happening in my life, I'm going to preach it anyway till it does. Because the Bible says it's true. Amen. I don't care if I don't see it yet. I'm going to tell you about it. Amen. When he was determined to let him go, "But you," Peter said, "you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder, Barabbas, to be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man," who's still holding on Peter's hand, I bet he's probably ready to get loose, but he probably ain't saying nothing, "whom you see, made this man strong. Yes, the faith which comes through his name has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance." Praise God, Peter's going to give him some mercy here. He was pretty bold. "I know you did in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." What is Peter doing? He's preaching the gospel. Amen. So we're supposed to preach the gospel, and we're supposed to expect signs and wonders, but we can let it run in reverse. We can see the signs and wonders and then preach the gospel. See, don't get God in a box saying, "You know, I brought Roland here this morning. Why does he need to wait? Why does he need to suffer anymore? Why does he need to suffer through the whole service to get prayed?" God says, bring the sick. Then we'll preach. Then we'll teach. Or we'll just pray for the sick. I don't care. Whatever God wants to do. That's the message. When the sick get healed, that's the best power. Yeah. Buddha can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. Allah can't do it. I said, Allah can't do it. Right. Only Jehovah. He did it. I said, he did it. Yes. And he's still doing it through his church. And this is what we got to expect. We got to expect the signs and wonders. This is how we proclaim our gospel, by demonstration of the Spirit of God. And change lives. Amen. And change finances. Silver and gold. Bring it on. The Holy Ghost will empower you to preach the truth in the midst of trouble or in the midst of your relatives. Your religious, I'd say some of your religious relatives. The Holy Ghost will give you the power preach it in love. You might not be as bold as Peter. Or you might be as bold as Peter. But don't forget the mercy of God, right? Give them love. Give them some grace. Mix some grace in there. All right, mix a little bit of grace and mix a lot of grace. We better mix a lot of grace in there. Give them a lot of grace mixed in love, and we expect the power of God to change their life. He will give us the power to preach the truth in the midst of troubles, and he will also change us from beggars to believers. From beggars to believers. In conclusion, let's go to the book of 2 Timothy. This was Paul's son in the faith. Paul wasn't married, but he had a son, Timothy. He called him his son in faith. He had the same heart like Paul had, to see Jesus touch the world. And he was Timothy was young. Don't matter how old you are, don't matter how young you are, Roland could take what we spoke this morning and go to his classroom or go to I ain't sure where we're eating at today. He could go there and lay his hands and believe and speak the word of God, and Jesus is right there. He says, "Suffer little ones to come unto me. Such is the kingdom of God." Such is the kingdom of God. There's no, God's no respecter of persons. Young, old, doesn't matter. We all have his ability if we'll just believe. And quit begging him to do it and just believe he's already done it and just step out of our boats. Just step out of our boats of what's going to happen. That boat of pride. Of what's going to happen to me? See, that's pride. Just what happens, I'm thinking about me. What happens if I don't do it right or if I do this and this don't happen? See, I'm thinking about me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus and what he's done And when we operate like that, Jesus is there to back it up. He is there to back it up. Where'd I say I was taking you? 2 Timothy. I better get there. I remember my pastor, Pastor Jim Howard, he always told me and Sherry, he said, I thank God, he says, you're one of my Timothys. Because he said he prayed for ministry of help, prayed for people to come and help in the ministry because you need help. And he said, Lord, you're one of my Timothys. Because you just come in and just ask, what can I do? What do you need me to do? Because, see, I'm not serving Jim. I was serving God, and I was hungry to do something. But then you need somebody to lead you to do the right thing. And he never told me what God has told me to do, but he just kind of led me in those directions. So a good shepherd will lead you. He won't tell you, but he'll lead you in the right direction. And that's what I pray God helps me to do every day. I'm holding you. I'm holding you. 2 Timothy 1, let's start in verse 2. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing and his power, Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you, Timothy, in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. A lot of people don't have genuine faith. They say they're going to stand before Jesus one day, and he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. They don't have that genuine faith. They're doing it for their own self-gratification and not doing it for God's kingdom. But Paul said, I call to remembrance that genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also. And I'm persuaded right now that God's genuine faith is in all of you this morning. Because if you're doing things for God, you're believing God, and you're believing for your family, and you're believing for your relatives. Therefore, I remind you, stirred up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And this is what, concluding, this is what the Holy Ghost will empower you to know. For God has not made you a beggar. God has not given you a spirit of fear. But what kind of spirit has he given us? A power of love, spirit of power, and of love, and a sound mind. We just prayed for Alicia this morning, me and Pastor Lewis. She had a fall. The Bible just said, you may fall, but you shall arise. We believe Alicia is rising. Healing is arising in her body because we laid hands, believers, we believed, and we laid hands on her this morning and spoke against confusion. She should not have confusion. She's got a sound mind. So, devil, you're defeated. Alicia has a sound mind by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is tangible, and it's working in her body, and it's bringing back that sound mind that she has been given by Jesus Christ. Amen. And she will not walk in confusion, but she will remember things that she wants to remember, and she'll say things that she used to remember, that she will remember. Yes. And then her body's being healed. She fell, but Lord is healing her body. Amen. As we speak and as we spoke, that manifestation, we're believing for that, for her. And not just for her only, but all that shall believe. And Father, we thank you for that. She didn't have to wait to the end of the service. Lord, the request was made known by her granddaughter. And Jesus, we thank you for taking that request and saying, yes, I will be healed. That's all he said. Yes, I will, child. Be healed completely. Alicia, be healed completely. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's not my power. It's God's power. But we release it by faith. We are channels. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. You have the mind of Christ. And this is going to blow you away, but it's in the Word. You have the mind of Christ. And you know all things. Wow. You mean I know things like Einstein knew? Wow. You're not an Einstein, but you know all things. All things. Because we have His mind. We have His mind. And that doesn't mean we're going to be an Einstein and create all these things, but what has God called me to do? In that, I know all things. All things. To help me reach my destiny and my destination. And by the Spirit of God, we can know all things. Yes. By His Spirit, when we pray for others, I don't know all things, but He knows all things. Yes. But particularly in me, I know all things according to that purpose He has for me. But when I go out here and believe and pray for others, I can believe for the Holy Spirit to have the mind of Christ. I have His mind. Yes. And it's a sound mind. Yes. Sound mind. We're not expecting, and you don't need to be expecting, generational curses. This was in my family. I've inherited it. No, you have inherited the kingdom of God, which is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You're not expecting all these other... I just watched a documentary of Glenn Campbell, and he's dementia or Alzheimer's. But he can still play a guitar. He can still sing the songs. But it was a part of his brain that was being affected. It was like the short-term memory. But his mind was so full of what he did for years. He was gifted to play those instruments and sing those songs. And he could just do it because it was the biggest part area that he focused on his brain. And that small part. But see, God can handle it all. We don't need to be affected even in the small areas. Because see, the devil will take that small thing and he'll squeeze the life out of us if we let him. So see, we're not expecting for those things to happen in our lives. We're going to finish our race, like Paul said. Finish my course. I've run my race. I'm finished my course. And now I'm ready to go into the kingdom of heaven. Ready to be translated. That's the ones we need to be. Amen. Don't let the devil have a foot. Don't give him an inch. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are not beggars, but we're believers. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the message that's brought. Lord, it's encouraged me, Father, and I thank you, Lord, for the power that's been released in your word and your anointing this morning, Father. And, Lord, any doubts right now, we thank you, Father God, that I command them to leave, these doubts to leave right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I think the good majority of them have already been gone because of the ministering of the word and teaching of the word. I thank you, Lord, that hope has arisen. That hope has arisen. Lord, there's a lot of people out here. I know as we get into the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, Lord, they're not thinking about you. They're thinking about all these traditions and all these arguments and debates that want to go on this time of year. Father, we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on the prize, and that is the born-again experience. That is Jesus, the light of the world. And we're going to focus on you, Lord, and we're going to go out here and we're going to be a great testimony of what you've done in our lives as we come to a close on this year, Father. It's going to be there. We're going to finish this year out awesome in Jesus' name.